My name is Jessica Bozek. I'm a teacher and writer. I curate a reading series called The Small Animal Project, and I'm also a dilettante seamstress in my spare time. I'm from Lowell, Massachusetts. I grew up in a Polish-American family, which prompted my interest in Russian in college and graduate school. I've lived in Russia and London and Barcelona. After I lived in Spain, I moved to Athens, Georgia, where I studied creative writing. I've been teaching in the English department at the New England Institute of Art for 2 years. I also teach in the writing program at Boston University. And I like to write poetry because I can ask more questions than I answer. And the distinction between poetry and fiction for me is sometimes a strange one because my poetry is really fiction, which is to say it's not autobiographical. I'm going to read a few poems from a series that I've been working on for the last year, slowly. The poems are about war. They're about our attempts to cover up the atrocities of war with language. They're about memory and history. They're about commemoration. And I think that they probably come out of a class that I've been teaching at BU for the past year or two, called Reading Disaster, which is about the responses to atrocity and disaster by artists around the world. The Revisionist Historian's Tale. Friendly coming in. The soldier with a soothing voice had come. White museum booties muffled his steps. He left his weapons, the sharp and the loud ones, behind roadside rock. Some say his whistle was distinctive. He told the citizens stories of quiet insects, of soft foods, of hair limbs, of lazy, of red trees, of porch chairs, of windrows, of pinking shears, of lavender, of loose sleeves, of a sweater that grew from trees, of wind, of tremor, of transport, of archive, of crystal glint, of lunar surface, of honey, of typewritten notes, of names going rusty from non-use, of wind, of wind, of wind. They close their eyes to go. And from the collective weight of so many eyelids collapsing, the piling started to sink. They would soon be underground. The soldier would soon report that he had watched their houses retract until low growth covered the roofs. He whistled, and their dogs followed him back to his weapons. The streetlights glistened against the grease paint on his face. For years afterward, people in this land talked about the first soldier to fell a town with bedtime stories. They wondered if it was better to be stilled into atrocity or surprised by it. Friendly coming out. The Lone Survivor's Tale. They didn't know they were drowning. The Linguist's Tale. The soldier had been trained in the language of the people he disappeared. This language was a language of things and their ghosts. The soldier wanted one thing and led the people to believe they wanted that thing too. They were tired, and the words he used promised the simulacra of what they already knew. His words cooed, nested, little birds straight to their sense of self. In their view, only the foreign attacked. With the soldier's guidance, the citizens believed that mutiny was superfluous. They preferred sugar, coiling, incumbent calm. Yet no one saw the soldier. They only heard his words. They saw their cats hide in closets. They saw their dogs slip through small flaps toward the soldier's sounds. But they, the people, were stilled by the familiar. Geologists have captured the soldier's words, but his thoughts, well, we can only speculate on those. The seismologist's tale. It was fall, and the soldier's stories made human piles of them. He went directly to the center of the town, and his stories spiraled outward. The few who tried to flee were held by his soothing voice. The citizens stopped. They grew tired and leaned. They grew tired and sat. Engines idled. They grew tired and sought other bodies to entwine with theirs. Warm, slow cotton piles formed throughout the town. The ground grew heavy. The center of the town sunk first. The earth's tilt was perceptible only to the animals, who knew the soldier as an earthquake maker. But this tremor moved in a different way, had a different shape. It coned. Most dogs avoided the soldier's circles, kept watch from the town's edge. Most dogs detected in the soldier's voice a sense of mission. They detected a master beyond the soldier, though the soldier had all the trappings of an alpha human. The leaves were thin on the trees. By the time the soldier made his final circles, only children who hadn't learned the words remained awake. Without language, they felt the leaves and the leaving. The dog's tale. How we were suspicious. We smelled its arrival, a bitter. We smelled it and we wanted to run for the hills. And then it spit, not caring that we could hear. Today, we knew, this new human wants to take something. We didn't think. It wants to leave everything. It wants our help. How we were complicit. It whistled, and we didn't run. We tensed our muscles, lifted our heads. Some started toward their humans. Some readied an ambush as the word circles widened. But pitch kept us away. The new human wanted to leave everything. This was efficiency. The earth opened and the humans slid in. The leaves moved over them. Only we, with our collars, only we, so well fed, we were the evidence of this population. Perhaps that's why the new human wanted us. We were trained, as it was, to sit, to heal, to eat when called. The Lone Survivor's Tale. The sky recovered the next day. Sketch for the fantasist's tales. Air coats. The air was colder in the days before the soldier came, so only those with the slowest metabolisms were not wearing coats when his stories began. Many had just returned home from work, or school, or their secret affairs. It is believed that beavers carry into the water so much air entangled in their coats that if left undisturbed at the bottom of a lake, they can thrust their noses into their fur and breathe for some time. The people, of course, did not have fur, but they had winter coats. Since the event, some villagers have been spotted coming up out of the ground. The Lone Survivor's Tale. In the months that followed, I was cold. I slept with the animals, who understood that defense does not mean exclusively, irrevocably, offense.